May 3rd, 2023.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board monthly meeting. Today's date is May 3rd, 2023. And just a reminder that our meeting is being audio recorded. And it will be shared at the county website if you'd like to go back and refresh your memory about the meeting at a later time. I am here in the room with Amy Campbell, Bob Freeland, and Trish. And I see phone numbers online, but I do know that some people are here, some we haven't seen for a while, and some we haven't seen before. So welcome, everybody. First item on our agenda, do we have any community input?
I do, sorry. I couldn't find how to get my remote off, my mute off. This is Darla, and I just wanted to remind everybody that Monday, May 8th, you can put in for rental assistance. Once again, I do believe it's going to be one of the last months you can submit for rental assistance. So if you have individuals that are needing that assistance, if you could please let me know or give them my contact, I would be happy to connect them with the resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Darla. Does anybody else have any community input?
I just wanted to share a little bit about the Vancouver Community Leadership Institute graduation that I attended on Saturday. This is a six-month program that is designed to encourage leaders, emerging leaders within the community who are people of color and low-income white folks to take places on municipal boards like this one and potentially even run for elected office. So the graduation was held at Clark College from 11 to 1, and they had a few different panels, a speaker, a keynote speaker, and we were able to hear from some of the graduates, which includes our very own Tabby Momhing. So we're grateful to have Tabby joining our board, and congratulations, Tabby, on that. And I don't know if you wanted to add anything about your experience in that program, or anything else. Feel free to jump in.
Get myself off mute here. So it was an amazing opportunity. It's like Trisha was saying, it's a six-month fellowship program. We meet every Saturday a month, and there's also the third Wednesday is a Zoom meeting where they dive in more in depth about the topics that they talked about on Saturday in-person meeting. Gosh, we learned so much about housing, about, you know, transportation, climate, economic, land use, zoning, just a lot of different things, including health equity, power mapping, racial and social justice, just a lot about things that I have very little knowledge about, but when I went into this training, it was just an eye-opener, and it just really brought me, just a lot of good information, overwhelming. Just too bad it's only a six-month program. I was hoping it would last longer just because it's an amazing opportunity. So if you know anybody that's interested in applying for this leadership program, it's open right now. It started in Puget Sound Sage, or Puget Sound is, learned by Puget Sound Sage and Southwest Equity Coalition, and they've been having this program since 2015 up north, and they just expanded to the Vancouver this year. So this was the first year, and they're having the second cohort, 2023-24, I believe starting in September. So application is in right now. I believe the deadline is May 5th. They go through a formal application process, interview. The one I was in, the most recent one I was in, because I was told that they had over 100 or even 200, I'm not sure exactly, applicants, and they chose 12 people because it's their first time in Vancouver, so they kind of limit the size a little bit smaller. So if you know anyone that's, you know, in the category of low income by population and they're wanting to learn about leadership skills, this is the program to really get them, you know, in and really learn. It was a great opportunity.
Oh, thanks, Tammy. I did just receive the information about the application today, and so I've asked Trudy to forward it out to y'all so that you can share it with anybody who you think might be interested or if some of our advisory board members are interested.
Thank you, Tabby, and that is great to hear that you're able to be a part of that. When are you going to run for office?
Not anytime soon. But we do have, I believe, two fellows that's planning to. So it'll be exciting.
Nice.
Could you repeat the name?
You want to say it? Can you say it in the microphone?
Tabby, could you repeat the name of the fellowship program that you were in?
Sure, it's called Vancouver Community Leadership Institute.
Thank you.
Oh, and one more thing I want to ask that I think is very important. Toward the end of the program, they do try to set you up with a mentor of your choice. So if you're interested in certain categories, certain sections, or certain, what am I trying to say, you know, interest area, they can set you up. You just let the leadership know that I want to be mentored by so-and-so, and they would try their best to partner you with them so you can learn, job shadow, and learn from them. So I'm really looking forward to that.
All right. Thank you so much. That's exciting. Look forward to hear how that helps you grow and all. And so I am super thrilled to our next agenda item. We have a full Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board now. And I would like to introduce Kristen Hayden, who's there. If you're looking on your screen, on my screen, your bottom left, Kristen. I'm not sure where everybody has you. But and so we conducted the interviews, it seems like forever ago, but Kristen will bring a lot to our board, and to not spoil anything for what she wants to share with you, I will let her go ahead and introduce herself.
Hello, hopefully you all can hear me okay. I'm Kristen. I learned about this group years ago. I had a young man with a cerebral palsy, and I was very fortunate to go through the entire early intervention process. It inspired me to return to school, and I graduated with my master in social work in 2018. Had completely intended to be working in developmental disabilities, but found myself really loving a different population and ended up becoming involved in medical social work. I spent 3 years working with DSHS under ALSA for Home Community Services and loved it, and then just really wanted to do more clinical work. So now I've been working for a little over a year in oncology. And I'm very much somebody who enjoys diving into all the resources in the community and connecting with others. So I'm thrilled to be here, and hopefully I can even share some resources that I find that may benefit all of you and anybody else that we're serving. And that's all I have.
Thank you, and welcome. Does anybody have any questions for Kristen?
Hi, Kristen. I'm Lindy. I don't know if we got a chance to meet yet, but I graduated with my master's in social work last year, and I am a clinician, and I do individual therapy.
And my passion is, of course, with the developmental disability community and the autistic community.
Kristen.
Separately, because I am open to referrals, even if I can't take them immediately. I do have a wait list when I am full.
I am hearing that a lot, and I can't wait for my patients with me. It's very hard to find. That is wonderful. What a great resource.
Yeah, and I am celebrating 6 months of being employed, which is kind of a big deal for me because I think the latest research has said that 80% of people with autism are unemployed or underemployed. And I am one of those people with autism, so it's a big deal for me.
Congratulations, Lindy.
I'd love to connect with you. That is wonderful.
Thank you. I'm going to get myself a cake, and on the top of it, I'm going to write, congrats on not getting fired.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone's muted. I can't tell if they're laughing or not.
It looks like it.
Laughter and clapping in the boardroom.
And so, Kristen, just a little bit more. Lindy is also our vice chair of the advisory board. And so, I don't know if any of the other members that are here want to introduce yourself to Kristen. Might be helpful so she knows who's who. Oh, everybody's being so
sure. This is Tavi. I didn't spoke. But my name is Tavi Mo-Ping. I just recently started a part of this advisory board, I believe, just a couple of months ago, so I'm really excited and I'm still learning, you know, everyone's face and names. I've been with DSHS, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, for about 15 years now. I'm a counselor. I play many, you know, I've been in many roles, so. Currently, I'm a lead counselor at the Vancouver office. So, carry a very full caseload of 110 and going on. You know, gosh, we're at 110 to 115 right now. So, it's a pretty heavy caseload. Yeah. So, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Kristen. My name is Amy Campbell, and I'm also relatively new to the board. I'm a special education teacher in the Kansas School District.
And
thank you.
Bob Friedland here. This is my start of my second year. I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with Darla. That you'll hear about the legislative agendas and updates, and also with Emily and Beth. It's been a wonderful to be able to work with them for the all of the work that's going to go forward for our employment celebration in October. My background is as a retired research scientist and an educator, and it's been a real pleasure to be serving, and I welcome you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Did I see Gabriella and Sydney? You're both here too, right?
Hi, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I'm having internet issues. Okay. It keeps cutting me off, so I turn off my camera to see if that helps, but it doesn't. Hi, everyone. My name is Gabriela Joy. I am the executive director of the Financial Stability Support of South of Washington, hello from Washington, D.C. tonight. It's so great to have you on the board, Christy, and I'm excited that we have now a full board.
Thank you.
next union.
Hi, Kristen. My name is Sydney Morgan. I am a consultant in the area, and this is my first time on this board, which has been really great. I'm a parent of three neurodiverse kiddos, and yeah, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Wonderful to meet you.
Lori, are you still with us?
Did you unmute and say that?
I wanted just to say hi once again. I was part of the crew that interviewed you, and just I'm Laura Trapella. I work at WSU Vancouver, where we are finishing our spring semester this week. And I've been on this board since 2020, and I really enjoy it, obviously, doing some recruitment for the board, and it's been a wonderful ride, and I look forward to many more years. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice
to see you again.
Leanne.
Oh, and Leanne, you're on the phone, right?
Yes, and I was just about to just wait and jump in. My name is Leanne Watson, and I'm on the board as a parent. And I can't even recall the exact year that I joined the board. My son was in second grade, I think, and now he just turned 23, so it's been a long while, and welcome aboard. And it's just great to have so many new people and fresh ideas and fresh voices to our board. So welcome aboard.
Alright. Thank you so much, everybody, for taking time to introduce yourself. And so our next item, we have Emily Harris and Beth with us here today that will speak on the first issue, being the Family and Educator Training Series, which is a wonderful opportunity for families here in Clark County that's been going on for quite some time. And so, Emily, are you taking the lead on this, or is Beth?
So, hi, everyone. I'm Emily Harris, his wife, and we have, sounds like we're getting a little echo.
Yeah. The room could mute, that'd be good, yeah.
Okay. And I ask that, well, first of all, it's so nice to see some familiar faces and names and meet the new board members and some familiar people that are joining. Gabrielle, it's so good to see you once again. I ask, and Beth and I were wondering if we could have a little bit of flexibility and switch the items and talk about the Nadeem event first. Bob, I see you nodding. I have to jump off this call, and Beth is going to do the presentation around our presentation, share the latest and greatest with the family training series this year. Does that work for people to switch those two items?
That is fine. We're just so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the nods and the visuals and the thumbs up. Well, Bob, you teed us up, and thank you for that, the shout out, because it is an event that we really feel grateful to work on with many of you and see many of you in the community at this event. But I'll just do a quick intro for those of you who have not met me before or Beth or are familiar with WISE. But WISE is a training and consulting organization that does work around employment equity for people with disabilities. And we have a long-standing relationship with Clark County doing work in various capacities. And these two projects that we're going to share about tonight are kind of the main things, or some of the big projects that we're working on in your community. And so the Nadeem event is a celebration that has had a long-standing history in Clark County. And it's the a celebration of National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And it's some would refer to Clark County's wedding, because it is a coveted and wonderful celebrated community event that celebrates employers, employees, community members that are practicing and involved in inclusive hiring practices. And it's been an interesting couple of years just being a human being navigating life. But this event historically has taken place in person. I think it was up to about 350 people in 2019, and then it pivoted to a virtual event for 2 years, and last year was the first year back in person after a short hiatus, and we did a hybrid event. We, the Invest and the committee in Clark County, a community effort, and there was 125 people who attended in person, so smaller, but a great turnout, and then 60 people who joined online. And we have some news to share. We have a date for this year. So we're here to say, save the date, October 11th is the date, and it's going to take place at Clark College again, just based on timing and availability and input from returning board members. But if anyone is interested in learning more about what it takes or what is involved in being in this committee, we're happy to set up some time to meet with you, and the doors are open, so we'd love to get more committee members. Let's see, there's Bob, Susan, and who else am I missing? I can reduce on the screen and the names. But there's quite a few of you who have been regular people. I'm about to look at the list, but if I didn't catch your name, I apologize. I'm just trying to
see
where to look on too. And Leanne, there you go. Yes, Leanne. And Leanne, yes. So we have a really good time planning it, and we start planning now to get things going for a big event in the fall. So that's the Nadeem update. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer any, or anyone on the committee if you want to add anything before I hop off, and then I'll pass the baton to you. Wonderful Beth McKinney.
Just a couple of things to add. So if you volunteer for the committee, it's not like high stakes and intensive time really. It seems like as a committee, we usually get together via Zoom. And a couple of things that we do. So just brainstorming ideas for the flow. Sometimes we have a guest speaker, and so we throw out names of recommendations of people we would like to have participate and inspire us all. A major part of being on the committee is the nomination packets go out usually July-ish, and those get sent back to the county. There are categories for large employer, small employer, employee. The David Hanawalt Award that usually is dedicated to an employment specialist. The Dennis Campbell Award is somebody that is an influencer in our community, serving the DD population, IDD population, and I think I might be missing one. But we review all those nominations, and then as a committee, we select the recipients, those who are going to be the recipients of the awards. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing to see how over the years that I've been doing this, that the number of applicants is just growing exponentially. And so it's nice to see, get a glimpse of all that good work that's going on in our county. And that's all I have to add. But anybody that is interested in volunteering, please speak up if you need information, more information. Like Emily said, she's happy to talk with you.
Yeah, I don't know if people are, thank you, Susan. I don't know if people can see in the chat. I'm not as familiar with Teams, so it could be going to someone who is logged off. But I put my email in there, so if you don't see it, I'll re-put it in, and I'd be happy to set up time to talk with anyone who's interested. And thank you. It's exciting and kind of hard to believe that we're already thinking about October 2023, but here we are.
And this is Trish. I would just add that WISE, Emily and Beth, and DD program staff really provide the muscle, and this committee provides kind of the advising on the vision, the flow, the selection of those award winners. So it's not like a roll up your sleeves and move chairs around kind of a volunteer opportunity. Just so y'all know, we got other people to do chairs. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, Beth. I'll let you take it from here, and I look forward to hearing from those of you who will join us, and if not, seeing you in October.
Thanks.
Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you, Emily. So given that, like, small skeleton of information, is anybody else wanting to join myself, Bob, and Leanne as helping with this committee?
This is Amy Campbell. I would love to help out with this.
Oh.
Especially since it's happening kind of during the summer when I might have more time.
The nominations will be right when school starts.
I can't.
So Amy Campbell.
Hi, this is Gabriella.
So Amy Gabriella.
You got that, Beth. Amy Campbell and Gabriella Ewing also want to join.
Got it. Exciting. And I'm like, Trish, we would still welcome chair movers. Hi, are we ready to move on to the family training series?
Yes, I think we are. And so, do you have a slideshow you're going to be sharing, Beth?
I don't have a slideshow. Okay, a bit of an echo.
That was us here. We're all going to mute now and go ahead.
Excellent, thanks. So hi, everyone. I'm Beth. I work with Emily at WISE. She gave a great introduction. I'm in the Portland, Oregon office with her, and by office I mean home. We don't have a physical office here anymore. So the family training series, traditionally just for folks that are familiar, I know many of you are. It traditionally was an in-person six-part training series that took place from October to April, and it would consist of 1 2-hour training per month that really just covered all things transition age, from benefits, FSI, guardianship, parent perspective, all of that. And as the pandemic happened in 2020, we shifted that to online. So we did 2-hour training, the same foundation just as an online training, and then provided Spanish interpretation as requested. Since then, so that was 2020, and then in 2021, we provided, and thanks to Clark County for prioritizing language access. It's been really great to work with you all on that. But we provided an ASL interpreter and a Spanish interpreter for every single training, and then all of the content presentation materials were translated into Spanish, and then other languages as requested. And kind of what we realized is that, A, families were really tired of a full 2-hour training after their workday, and it was really hard for them to attend. And then that hiring a Spanish interpreter to cover really complex disability jargon content wasn't really getting the message across to Spanish-speaking families. So what we did this year that's really exciting is we made a goal to have a Spanish presenter for every single training that was familiar with the content already. We would send families to a breakout room so they had their own presenter, and then we would have the English training as usual. And then in addition to that, we would record a shorter version of that presentation that will eventually exist. Well, it says, I'll show you the website so far. But so in addition to that, we would have that shorter presentation we could send to families before so they can access that material prior. And then they would also be able to access more of a Q&A style training that would happen once a month. So we just concluded that in March. We had our last training, and we've collected all the resources from this year's training series and put that into a website, and I will post the link in the chat for you. And there's still some formatting stuff that needs to happen and a couple more additional things. So this is kind of like the skeleton of what the website will be and will exist as a resource for families. And the idea is sort of that as we go on and each year, as we get more material, we have more presenters, this website will beef up. And it'll just keep growing and be a better resource. We can keep improving it over the years.
So Beth, this website is not ready to be shared. It's not like, let's share it out broadly yet. We're still kind of finalizing it, right? This is the sneak peek for the advisory board, just so y'all know. But we will let you know when it's time to share it broadly and widely. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, it could be shared. Like, everything on there is relevant and up to date. It's just that there's some formatting stuff. There's a page specifically for Spanish resources, and we just want to add some stuff there. So we'll work with one of our new YFP members, who is a Spanish speaker, which is excellent, to get just, like, some easier navigation and some better language on that Spanish page.
This is a sneak peek,
but it'll be ready.
Does anybody have any questions for Beth?
I had one. Is there a cost to this training, or how does that work?
No, so this is fully sponsored by Clark County and then some community organizations, and it's free. It's a free resource for
family. That's what I was hoping, that I wanted to be sure. Thank you.
And then Beth, I have a question, and I don't know what the year that I participated in the training series was when we were still doing it in person. It was at Fort Vancouver High School, which was probably about 8 years ago. and the culminating training, the day, was an event that was in the library, where it was kind of a networking and actually physically showing up in person and meeting with employment vendors and people from, you know, all the different agencies. Is there any thought about trying to add that back in now that we're doing more in-person things as kind of a wrap-up for the series, that people can maybe connect to each other one-on-one, in a human way, as well as kind of get a chance to stick their fingers in some of the resources?
Yeah, absolutely. So this website was kind of supposed to be not necessarily a replacement for that, but an online resource in addition to. We did put out a survey this year to see if folks were interested in meeting in person for an actual in-person resource fair again, which would be the first time we've done it since the pandemic. We didn't get a lot of response on that, so I think that's more of a question for next year if we decide to do that. And I think we'll put out another survey or chat with the committee. It's hard to replace the in-person connection and networking.
Yeah. It would be a really cool opportunity to partner. It would be a really cool opportunity to partner with some of the high school transition programs, because I know back when I was in Vancouver, our transition program used to have an agency fair that they hold at the ESD. And then I think at one point Battleground might have picked that up.
Yeah,
it would be really neat to maybe work with some of those, especially those that are, you know, getting ready to exit service or in their final couple of years, that maybe there could be another partnership going on there. That would be super awesome.
Noted. We'll look into that for next year. I think that now is a great time to be thinking about that. We're going to be meeting with the special education directors soon to give an update about this family training series. And also there was a question, we used to do, this is pre-pandemic, we used to go out and we'd get asked to go do presentations for transition programs quite often, and we still do some, but we really kind of want to do more of that, and so looking into planning something for the end of next year I think is a really great idea. So we'll look into it.
Yeah. And then Darla, you had a question?
More of a comment. I just wanted to say that Connie through DVR is actually doing some of those resources now. She's a transition person at DVR, and she's got an event happening tonight, and then she's got three other events that's happening between now and the end of May. So there's other opportunities for us to get out and network with them as well.
Darla, I was just going to say that.
that, yeah, Connie Florinet, she's our transition consultant, works closely with Priya families and students. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Darla, can you share the information about those events? And we'd be happy to add them to our website.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the one is happening tonight because we've got a coordinator over there as well sharing information. But I'll find out when the other ones are and let you know.
Or Tabby, if you have those, you can send them to us. We've got our DVR inside contact here, so if you have those.
I can definitely reach out to Connie. Okay. I know Connie and Bonnie, they're attending today. Sam tonight, though.
All right, any other questions or suggestions or ideas? Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Very much appreciated the update.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah. Trish, do you remember how long this family training series has been going on?
I think it's been going on at least 20 years.
Yeah, 1999 was our first year.
Okay, so that would be just wrapping up our 24th year. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, Darla, I am so glad to see you on the screen because you are our next agenda item, legislative update.
Yes, and our legislative session is over. Woo! We all celebrate and be happy. April 23rd was the, let me pull my notes over here so I don't look sideways, was the close of the regular legislative session for 2023. It was a 105-day session. Earlier in the session, the Office of Financial Management had released their 23-25 revenue forecast, and that forecast showed a decrease of $483 million in revenue than from the previous 2 years. 2 years ago when we were doing our last big budget. So that really impacted the end of our legislative session. People were kind of thinking that was going to happen, but legislators really started financially kind of backpedaling about halfway through session. This year, the governor, the Senate, and the House all worked together on the capital and the operating budgets, and we'll go through that in a minute. Some of the highlights I wanted to point out, though, some of our wins from our legislative session this year is that there was $25 million put into commerce for housing for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That's a huge win. In the past, we've maybe gotten $5 million at the most, and so the $25 million we're very excited about. $18 million was designated for community providers that serve children and youth with dual diagnosis, the IDD, behavioral health. There was a 21% increase for supported employment and a 27% increase for community inclusion providers. Trish, is that where the county ended up with their numbers as well? I wanted to double check those with you.
Yeah, that was what was in the budget. What we're hearing about that specifically is that OFM and DDA are in the process of doing their analysis and unraveling what the legislature means by that increase. So originally we were hearing like, oh, just add, you know, a certain percent onto the hourly rates and there you go. But it sounds like they're doing a little bit more work. There was some messaging late in session about DDA having the flexibility to manage their budget. It didn't get into the bill language, so we're still kind of in the process of finding out what that's actually going to look like so far as our rates go. But we're grateful to have an increase. It's not what was recommended in the rate study that the legislature appropriated for last year, but we're glad to have something. And so we'll see how that goes so far as stabilizing our service system statewide. In Clark County, we're doing okay. But, you know, I think as we've mentioned during advisory board meetings in the past, our providers have really struggled to recruit staff, so there are a lot of new people. I think that that's evident in a lot of different areas right now, but we're definitely feeling it in developmental disabilities as well. Thanks, Carol. Go ahead.
Thanks, Trish. There also was $31 million put in for the Dan Thompson Trust. So that's the new grant that just started. I think that they originally were put out in, the first ones were due in October of 2021, I believe. And so that's excellent money because those are opportunities for us to do some new and creative stuff. I know here in Clark County, we've got three or four different Dan Thompson grants that have been funded through different agencies, and so there's lots of new and exciting stuff going on, as well as across the state. So it's exciting that they're going to continue to fund the Dan Thompson grant and allow us to really look at how we can access those funds and do some new and creative programming. They did lower the special education safety net threshold. They did not fully fund special education, but they lowered the safety net threshold and they changed the multiplier. And I'm not even going to attempt to act like I know what all of that means, because I don't. I just know that schools will be getting more special education funding, but not quite as much as they were hoping for. So it's a win, but not as much as we wanted to. The other thing that was a big win is that they're going to be doing away with the, right now for DEA eligibility, there's the first eligibility at age 3-4, then there's one at 10 and one at 18. They're doing away with the 10-year-old eligibility, which will be wonderful. A lot of the kiddos at 10 are no longer qualifying, so it's nice that they're doing away with that eligibility and individuals can continue to get the support they need until age 18. Another very exciting win is House Bill 1694. It's a study that's going to help parents whose kids are highly medically complex in behavior, so that they're going to actually be able to, the pilot that they're doing to help parents, see if some of those parents who have high medically fragile kiddos be able to be paid providers for those kiddos. And that's huge. I mean, just this week alone with PEASE, we've gotten a call where a three-month-old on a G-tube needs childcare, and the childcare providers are kicking them out or not. You kick out a three-month-old. Anyway, but are uncomfortable in providing that service. And a 19-month-old who is immobile, is not going to be able to walk, is going to need a wheelchair, and is struggling with child care issues as well. And so really looking at how we can help support those families with the, when the little ones are much more medically fragile is huge. It's just huge. Some of the not-so-good wins, some of the losses from session, is residential providers only got a 2% increase. And so our residential providers are going to be going into significant crisis. As you may or may not know, out of the approximate, and these are really, really approximate numbers, I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head. If Gabriella or Trish or anybody does, please jump in. But there's approximately 52,000 individuals on the DDA case list right now. And there's about 4,500 of them that are in residential. And it's not that the others are not needing some type of support. It's that we can't get the residential providers because of the low reimbursement rates for those providers. So that's huge. That's a loss that really is going to impact us as we go forward. And then House Bill 1541, the Nothing About Us Without Us Bill, which increased representation and policy making for people with lived experience, it died in the Senate in the last 2 weeks of session. That was really disappointing. We do think, though, that even though the bill died, there's going to be some of the language that is carried forward as we go on. So more about that in future meetings as we find out more bits and pieces on it. House Bill 1238, which would have provided free school lunches for all, so it would have provided breakfast and lunch at no cost for all kindergarten to 12 students. It passed, but was stripped down to only kindergarten through fourth grade students in schools with 40% or more of students eligible for free lunch currently. So, you know, you turn five, you get into fifth grade, you don't get breakfast or lunch. So, sorry about that. House Bill 1479, the restraint and isolation bill prohibiting schools from using restraint and isolation of students with disabilities died in the Senate in the last few weeks of session. That one we're going to be coming back. There's a lot of research right now that's showing the long-term trauma for kiddos that are going through restraint and isolation. And so right now it's one of those archaic.
Yeah, I thought that was in law.
Ways in which schools are still dealing with our children with behavioral issues. And so we're really needing to get some laws passed. And so we're just needing to continue to educate and bring that along. You know, we really need to look at that long-term trauma that that's causing with the students. There's a lot more bills and budget issues, but those are really the highlights. And I think I have passed the information off to Trish, so you should have the rest of the budget and the bills in front of you. Are there any specific questions?
Did it go out to people that are remote?
Just so y'all know, we have the Arc of Washington State smiley face on our website. Kristen, can you throw the DDAB meeting website where those are posted on the website in the chat so that the people online can have access to those? And then I think there was a few comments in the room too.
Yeah.
But you go.
And then Lindy has a question or a comment.
Yeah, Darla, do you know if they gave a reason for why the self-advocate inclusivity bill died?
No. Some bills died just because they didn't have time to get them through. Other bills died for background issues. And so I really don't have an answer for you, Lindy. I can... You know, we're going to be meeting with some legislators next week, and I am more than happy to ask.
Okay. Because I would be curious if it was just an issue of logistics, like either it died because they didn't have time to get to it, or they didn't think that it needed to be as a bill, or if they have ulterior motives of not wanting self-advocates to be included.
Is this the Nothing Without Us, Nothing About Us Without Us bill, Lindy, that you're talking about? Is that
Yeah.
It? I do have a little bit of insight on that. What I was hearing is that, number one, I thought it was really exciting that lots of different coalitions were jumping on to this bill. Right, because there's a lot of people with lived experience that this bill resonated with, and you know, I was seeing it on my emails from the African American Association and others that were supportive of this happening. What I heard from our ACHS legislative committee is that there were other departments within our government that were concerned about the fiscal implications of making these work sessions. So Darla's shaking her head. So you could, this meeting is recorded, but that was one of the things that I heard. I would anticipate that this bill is coming back. Again, I don't think this one is gone yet forever.
Right. I agree, Trish. And I did hear that, having the way the bill was written, there would be representation from individuals with lived experience on all the task force and different committees, and they would be reimbursed. And there was a disagreement in how much that cost would be, The fiscal note, actually, if you look at it, the fiscal note wasn't bad, but the fiscal note is what was given as the reason for it not going forward. So it will definitely be back.
I see. Yeah, that definitely adds a layer of complexity, because as a full-time working person who also is a person with lived experience, I have to be very selective about where I donate my unpaid labor and whether or not I am getting shoehorned into a role where I'm essentially being put on a pedestal and expected to represent an entire group, but not being on the same level as the other members of the committee. So oftentimes I find in my advocacy work that I am just put in the brochures in the program as Lindy Tree's self-advocate when I went to school for 7+ years to get a master's degree, and I have 2 clinical licenses to practice therapy. And so it just feels like, you know, you can either have the qualifications or you can have the lived experience, and there isn't enough people who understand that we can have both.
Well said, Lindsay. Are there other questions in regards to bills or budgets? One of the bills that died, 1628, it was the REET bill, R-E-E-T. That was a bill that would have taken a portion of the real estate excise tax to go toward housing for people with low income, and then a specific set aside specifically for individuals with IEDs. It was dropped by Representative Chop. And the way the bill originally was written, it would only impact the sale of property over $5 million, right? So if you or I sold a house, it wouldn't impact us, but it was for large properties. And it would have brought in a huge amount of money, and it would have basically solved our housing crisis in Washington State. It was a great bill, in my opinion. My understanding is there is a lot of politics around that bill. That bill will be coming back. They have changed how the bill is written at this point in time so that it is a much significantly lower amount for the first 2 years, but then it will be a gradual increase. It still is a great bill, but there's a lot of misinformation about that bill. And so I know, like, my understanding is that the real estate agents, and there's a lot of people who are really against this bill. And so I think that's something that I would love to get everyone more information on, so that during this interim session, we can educate those people that we know individually. So when it comes back next year, there's more basic knowledge on this bill and how it would impact people and who it wouldn't impact. So, but overall, I think Dee Dee did pretty good this session. I mean, for the session we had, it was a good session. The budget turned out good for us. I mean, there was some things that could have been better, but, you know, I'm not feeling like Eeyore today, coming and giving you a horrible report. So there was more wins than losses. So we'll count that as a great legislative session.
Thank you, Darla, for that thorough update. And we look forward to hearing from you again. All right. And so that is the bottom of our agenda, my fellow board members. And you know, I'm so excited because not only is our board full and we have all of our board positions filled, but we're also all here. Like all 10 of us are in the room together, which is like, wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all for your time. The meeting is adjourned and we will see you next month.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.